It's Chaf Beis Iyar, I believe, Tafshin Pei Beis, 24th of May. Okay, so the main text we're learning is the Chafetz Chaim in the Machane Yisrael, when he speaks to the soldiers on the battlefield, which Rabbeinu Yonah said is very much like life. But before we continue with that main vehicle of our learning, we're going to address a couple of questions that I got last time after the Shir. Thank you so much for joining us. So one question was, and some people remain, in general we won't quote the people, even though you deserve credit and it brings good to the world if we quote people with what they said, but because of the recording and sensitivities for that, we're not going to generally quote who said what. Somebody asked the following question. I've learned that there's a difference between davening for something and having bitachon, that it will happen. And there were two stories we learned last time. One of them had to do with someone having bitachon and miraculously it happened, and the other one was someone davening and miraculously it happened. And they're both very noteworthy. The question is there a difference between these two approaches and how do they interact? So if you have bitachon that something is going to happen, do you still need to daven? Do I have to daven for it? The question is, how do I know what to do and when to do what? And someone also asked the last time, how much is enough davening? How much is too much davening for something? So I wanted to quote, and by the way, your interaction and whatever you want to provide is always welcome here. So we know that when we were cornered, where were we cornered in Chumash? Probably it looked like the most hopeless situation anybody was ever in, maybe, in human history. Was it where? That's by the Yamsuf. And here, Hashem said to Moshe, Ma titzak elai. So what is this that you're screaming out to me? Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'yiso. Speak to the b'nei Yisrael, and they should travel into the Yamsuf. So the question is, was Moshe screaming out? It's a machlokus. Somebody was screaming out to Hashem. It was either b'nei Yisrael or Moshe or both of them. So look at this for a second. Hashem's saying, why are you davening to me now? It's time to do something else. Now, who knows what the Baal Turim says about the word Ma titzak elai? It's a huge lesson for everyday life. Ma titzak elai. Ma is mem hei. He's not asking him a question. He's actually hinting to him. What's he hinting to him? Mem hei titzak elai. What's mem? In the future, you are going to scream out to me for 40. What's the 40? The 40 days after the B'nai Yisrael do the Egel. Ma, that's the mem. Titzak elai. You will scream out about the B'nai Yisrael doing the Egel on Har Sinai, to daven for B'nai Yisrael not to be destroyed. And what's the hey? There's the mem hey. Five words you're going to say to me one day. What's the five words Moshe is going to say? What are that? Kel na rafa na la. What was that about? When Miriam had Saras and Parshas Baloscha. So the ma doesn't just mean, what are you screaming out to me for? It's mem hey, titzak elai. It's a statement. It's a prediction. You will scream out to me 40 days about B'nai Yisrael. They're really going to need it. And you're also going to daven five words for your sister Miriam. Kael nor fon ala. Please Hashem heal her now. Ki eis lekatzer ve'eis laharich. There's a time to daven short and there's a time to daven long. Ava'ata ein eis lispalel klal. This is not the time to daven at all. So there's three types of situations. There's a time to daven long, like when Israel are in grave danger of being destroyed for the Chet Egel. There's a time to daven short, like when Miriam had Tzaras. And we know there's explanations. Why was Moshe so brief? So people wouldn't claim that he davens more for his sister than anybody else, whatever the reasons were. But now it's not time to daven. Ela daber b'nei Israel v'yiso. Now it's time to do the ishtalus. Go into the Yamsuf. So what do we see from this? That sometimes it's time to daven long, sometimes short, and sometimes not to daven at all. So, and then there's the times when it's not to daven at all. What are we supposed to do? Either ishtadlus or just the bitachon. And the zechus of the bitachon will have the Yeshua, as we're learning. That's the main thrust of what we're learning here. So does this present a dilemma to any of us? Since there are these different appropriate actions at different times.
How do we know?
Right, that's the biggest dilemma. How are we supposed to know? How do we know? So does anybody have an idea? How am I supposed to know whether it's eis lekatzer, eis laharich, or not to daven at all? And if it's not to daven at all, to do ishtadlus, or just bitachon, or bitachon and ishtadlus, or davening and ishtadlus, or bitachon and davening, how do I know the combination? So it must be that Hashem gives us guidance. And as I mentioned before, I had the zechus to be in touch with a big tzaddik, Rav Mordechai Schwab, Zatzal, and I once asked him a kind of question like this. He said, when we daven in Ma'ariv, or maybe in Kriya Shema Alamita, especially if you don't daven in Ma'ariv, V'sakneinu be'eita tova milfanecha. Hashem, please establish us in a good plan. in front of you. We need to know an Eitza Tova. I need to know when to do what. And I have to ask Hashem for guidance. When should I daven long? When should I daven short? Now, Fi Ha'aros, one Moshe Sefer I saw said, if we over daven for things, there's a very big disadvantage to that. Can anybody tell me? What's detrimental about davening over more than we should about something? There was such a concept.
We get discouraged.
Right, get discouraged. We get... What else?
Or Hashem gives it to you and it's not
good. Oh, there you go. Right. That's right. My Rosh Hashiva said, be careful when you ask Hashem for something. He's listening, so be careful. Maybe it's not the right thing if it's a specific thing. That's what it is, right? If it's a specific thing. Now, there are some things that everybody needs. We need parnasa. We need good health. You know, we need shelter. We need all the basics. But there's some things that are specific to this person. Might and might not be appropriate and the best thing for the person. Also, it says we get aggravated. I saw this Musa here, but it says we get aggravated and upset. We get more impatient. What we do is we cultivate impatience if we over-daven for things sometimes. So the answer to this question really is, we need Hashem to guide us what to do, when to do it. But all of these are proper, but it really depends on the situation. And they're all extremely potent. They're all effective. The question is to get the right combination. But I just want to end that little question, that little, well, not so little, it's a tip of an iceberg, that Yaakov Avinu wasn't even sure what to do. What was the situation? He said, I'm going to cover all bases. Even Yaakov Avinu wasn't sure. What was the case that he was faced with a dilemma?
Esav was coming with 400 men.
Right, exactly, perfect. When Esav, so it says, if you look at Rashi in Parshas Vayishlach, it says, Hiskin Atzmo Lishlosha Devarim. It's like what we say in Hashkivenu, Vesaknenu, the same Lashon. He fixed himself up, he prepared himself for three things. Yaakov Avinu, what? He didn't know what to do? He wasn't sure how to face the dilemma, the challenge of Esav? That's right. And by the way, the Mefarshim always say, the Esav challenge and the Esav opponent is, again, that's representative of our challenges. It's the Yetzer Hara, it's our difficulties in life. So it's the three things. L'doron, to give him a present. L'tfila, for davening. Or l'melchama. And there's also a possibility of warfare. Now, if you would take option three, then you have to activate the Chafetz Chaim. You have to have bitachon on the battlefield that everything's going to be okay, and that he's going to win, that he won't be harmed. So that's that situation. But there's also this tefillah in here. Actually, he did all three, except actually he didn't do all three. Wait, I made a mistake. Which of the three did he end up not doing? There is davening, war, and presence. So how many of those did he do?
Yeah. He did not do war.
Right. He did 66.6% of his plan.
Well, he prepared for the war by splitting his family.
Okay, perfect. So the thing is, though, he prepared... It's interesting because he bring that up. He prepared himself for three things, but he actually implemented two of the three. He did daven, and he did send the presents. So it's interesting. He prepared himself, but didn't follow through with the war possibility. Just something to think about. He didn't actually fight.
I just thought of it as a defense.
Right, he thought
defense,
of that as a possibility.
He didn't prepare offense, he prepared defensively. Defense.
Right, but the other two became, they went from potential to kinetic energy. Davening, he actually davened. Gift, he actually went through with the whole gift. But the war thing, he actually, I understand, yeah, he prepared for defensive, that's for sure. But he never had to actually carry through, which shows us that that's also okay. We can prepare for the worst case scenario. What do they say? There's some kind of expression. You know, always hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Well, that's, but when we prepare for the worst, even the worst, Hashem is with us. That's what this is all about. The main text we're learning is about the battlefield. Therefore, what looks like the worst is also not the worst, because that's what Hashem has in mind. In fact, something to look forward to, later on, the Chafetz Chaim talks about, if Chas V'Shalom, this person on the battlefield is taken as a prisoner of war, now what's he supposed to do? So I'm just giving you a little bit teaser for the future. He says a person davens to be freed from his oppression, and Hashem didn't seem to listen, he davens again. We're going to talk about that later. That's a later song. I'm just showing you future to come. We're going to talk about when we daven, and we don't get answered. We don't think we're getting answered. Well, that's a famous topic in Bitachon, which we'll talk about. But you see that he prepared for all this, and this shows us it's okay to prepare for all eventualities with all different methods. Yes?
So you were saying about having Bitachon about in battlefield, but what about Bitachon for the other things, like giving a present and the...
Right, that's also a wonderful point that we have to have bitachon, that bitachon goes along with these methods also, that they should work. That's correct, because we also have to have confidence that these things will also, because otherwise they won't be effective. That's correct. We can't just say, oh, it's my hishtadlus. So we already know that the hishtadlus, the thing about hishtadlus, I think we should talk about it for a minute, since we're talking about hishtadlus. So how do we view hishtadlus? That's the question. What does hishtadlus do? Why do we have to put forth effort if we're having bitachon? What is hishtadlus all about? I was planning to do it in the future, Mr. Shem, but...
How do you define hishtadlus?
Right, so what is hishtadlus? I'll read you the Maseios Yesharim. You've probably learned this before. It says, Lo shaha ishtadlus hu hamoil. What is ishtadlus? How do we define ishtadlus? Let's try to define that. Anybody have a good definition for us?
Do some sort of effort. So that if it's supposed to work out, it will have a natural venue.
Right. That's what ishtadlus is. That's a human effort. But as you know, the Mesillas Yesharim says, and when he talks about Chassidus, Lo shaha ishtadlus hu hamoil. We understand that? It's not that the ishtadlus is what helps or what accomplishes for us. That is not what's doing it for us. We might know these words already, but they could be repeated a million times. It wouldn't be too much. Lo shaha ishtadlus homel. That is not what is accomplishing for us. So then why are we doing it if it doesn't help? He said it didn't help. Okay, so let's not do it? No, we have to do it. So why are we doing it then? What's the reason we're doing it if it doesn't help? It's not the thing that helps. Is it a waste of time? So let's figure this out. Why does Hashem want us to do ishtadlus?
To allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hide behind Teva.
Oh, good. So that's basically what he says, that Hashem commanded us to do ishtadlus. Shah ishtadlus muchrak. It's imperative. It's compulsory. And I love the lashon that he says, v'kivin sheishtadl harei yotzei dechavos. He fulfilled this obligation. Ishtadlus is an obligation on us to do. But no one should ever think for even a split second that that is what accomplished it for me. It did not accomplish it for me. And then what does he call ishtadlus? Anybody know the nickname he says? Harei ze kemas. It's like a tax. I'm sure that some of you have been in New York. You ever drive on the highways that you have to pay toll, right? Toll on the highways? So if I stop and pay a toll. I grew up in New York, so we're always paying tolls on the thruway, you know, 87. You always pay the toll. You throw in the 50 cents, probably like $5 in an hour. But the thing is, you throw in the money, and it's like, okay, now you can drive on the highway. But is that what drove me on the highway? Is that what got me to where I'm going? No, there was a couple coins. They threw it into the thing, and that's it. He says, it's a mas, it's a tax. Shaparea, who has to pay this tax, by the way? Kol hamin ha'anoshi. Every human being, the whole human species has to pay a tax. There's nobody exempt from the tax. We all have to pay the tax. But that's all that it is. That's the long and short of it. That means that didn't do it for me. So that's why we don't have to be over mishtadel. We don't have to have anxiety about my ishtadlus. I did what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Now, how much ishtadlus to do? We need Das Torah a lot of times. We need our own Torah to guide us. That's again, Fesakneinu Be'etza Tova Mofanecha. And that's what you were asking before, part of a hishtadlus. Now, is tefillah part of hishtadlus? That's what I'm just wondering about. Is that part of hishtadlus? Is that a form of hishtadlus?
Yeah, probably. It looks like it is.
Yes, it looks like it is. That's right. It's something that a human being is doing.
That's a good question, because a lot of people have a challenge with tefillah if they don't have kavanah. So is it still considered good hishtadlus if you're davening without kavanah?
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. I'll tell you why. What do you think? We have something to say about it?
I'm just processing what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's always great to dive. You can't really always control your kavana, you know?
Right. Kavana is something that comes and goes, and it's like very hard to harness that. But we once asked Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wein, so someone said to him, okay, Rebbe, if you daven Shemon Esrei, the first three brachos, and you were just like zoned out, you were in another world, like in the first bracha, mainly Avos. So what's the din about Shemon Esrei? If you didn't even think what the words meant in the first bracha of Shemon Esrei? Right, it says you're not yote. But do we go back and daven again? Mm-hmm. No, why?
Because
you might have to do any better. Who knows how many times this is going to happen? I'm going to be all day trying to get it? So one of the brachim said to Rabbi Wein, so Rebbe, did he do anything? He wasn't Yotzei, and he didn't even have any Kavanah. So the answer is, yeah. Because you said the words of the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, you said these words, which is Lashon HaKodesh, of course you accomplished something. You weren't Yotzei, the mitzvah, the key of tefillah. It doesn't mean he didn't do anything. So the davening that we do, of course, we have to have Kavanah, and that's the way to do it. But if we don't have it, it still accomplishes something. It accomplishes something for us also. Because now I'm connecting with Ribbono Shel Olam by davening, by doing this type of ishtadlus. It's definitely a gehecher madrega of ishtadlus than going to work and doing things that are mundane and physical, but it's definitely part of it. We see Yaakov Avinu did it, now we send presents to Esav, so that's another thing. By the way, I just want to mention one thing about the present to Esav, which also has to do with bitachon and Musar. What was the type of present that he sent him? What is the very key phrase about sending presents to Esav? When you send a mincha le'Esav, when we have to go ahead and appease whatever physical forces are out there, even whether it's our desire to eat, whatever else it is, there's physical things. That's what Esav could represent. What did he take from? Can anybody tell me what's the famous lashon says? Vayikach min haba biyado. You know the famous lashon? He took from what came in his hand. So by the way, the Sforim point out that to take from what's in his hand, that means when it comes to Gashmias, it shouldn't be that we have to take so much time making decisions and agonizing over decisions when it comes to Gashmias. Now, this is something that men probably don't understand the way, like, in other words, we don't shop for clothes the way that women might need to do that, correct? So, like, for me, a decision of what I'm going to buy, it's min haba biyado, whatever I find first. Okay, fine, now that's great. So there's different levels of different people of how to do it. But in general, when it comes to Gashmias, it's min haba biyado, meaning we're supposed to have some kind of, we're supposed to be satisfied and not be agonizing over our decisions of Olam Hazeh too much. That's vayikach lecho min haba biyado, from what came in his hand. So at least once I have what I have, if this is the parnas I have, and if I can't do much better, I have to be happy with that too. Min haba biyado. Is that making sense? So that's just the thing about that hishtadlis. It's just a side point about hishtadlis of mincha le'esav, the Gashmias part of it.
Yes. For women, it might be a little different because of tzniyus. Like,
right.
They want to do something better for Hashem with tzniyus. They can't just take just anything. That, like, they might have to be very. They might have to do more research.
Make any sayon rather than.
I have been educated about that topic very well. Once we had daughters, it's a whole new parsha, and I definitely can hop that. I mean, I can totally hop it. Obviously, I understand there's something going on. What?
Fusion tape, but even with that, you're saying that it shouldn't be like a.
There's even to that. There is. I'll read you the lesson, okay? It says, "Vayikach min haba biyado min chaleisav." Do you know that that phrase is brought in the Sifrei Musar about Gashmias in general? Min haba biyado. It's also a symptom of bitachon, when a person isn't, let's put it this way, isn't preoccupied too much with is not transfixed on Gashmias to the point that they're always wondering about what should be. Maybe I did it wrong. Maybe I did it right. Especially when it comes to Gashmias. That's what min haba biyado. It's a concept maybe we can revisit it later in Mirtz Hashem. So I don't know how that relates to every area
kind of
life.
Bitachon, like not to be over.
Like you always say, menuchas nefesh havoteach. I have menuchas nefesh. See, the part of bitachon we learned in the first year is that it's amalek is suffik, and that's the same gematria. And when we have too many sveikos, then we cannot have bitachon. Then we're going to be not content. We're going to be sad. We're going to be anxious. So when we look at me, I took this route. And I'm going to try to make peace with it. I'm going to settle with this, and that's to a degree what bitachon is about: the serenity that a person can achieve through bitachon. So that's something about it's about Yaakov's, it's kind of like a corollary idea about the hishtadlis that Yaakov Avinu did when he goes with the Doron option, and that's the inyan of haba biyado. So that hopefully answers that. There was another question afterward about the different elements of creation, but I think we're going to wait to do that, a subsequent one, about how they impact us, how we have different dominant forces, because I just want to get back into the text of the Chafetz Chaim on this topic right now. So this is all, as you could see, intermingling the same ideas. And to just bring us back to the Chafetz Chaim, he was telling us about on the battlefield how the amount of bitachon we have, that will lead to the amount of Yeshua, to the degree of Yeshua we have. Now, I just want to mention that this is in consonance with the general rule of Mita Kenegan Mita. Yes?
Question. If a person, let's say the soldier then, like, Is it right or wrong to then, you know, quote unquote, like, look back? Like, okay, like, I did it. Now let me see, did the bullet actually go by me? Or like, okay, I'm going to have bitachon that this is not going to go wrong. Mm-hmm. And then, like, and then to go back and check, like, did it go, like, was I right? Did it work? So it doesn't work with so much the soldier on the battlefield.
Right.
But like, say, okay, I have bitachon that, you know, I'm going to, you know, whatever, you're going to, like, I don't know,
right, to rethink second guess ourselves, that
to
kind of thing.
Say, like let's say a person leaves something very valuable accidentally on their front porch, right? So and they leave their you know, out of town. So and then they realize, oh, I left something valuable. Okay, I have a bitachon, nothing's gonna happen to it. It's fine. Is it then like a shter in their bitachon to like call a neighbor and say, like, could you check if it's still there? Like.
Right. I doubt it, because that's our hishtadlis. That could be a little bit of hishtadlis. And the whole time thinking, you know, Hashem knows what he's doing, and Hashem is a shomer Yisrael, and we have mezuzahs on our door. You know, Shakai over there is the shin and the dot on the yud, shomer dasos Yisrael. The door is there, the porch is there, the house is there, and we have a special shmira. I will do my little dose of hishtadlis, but I will not do it with trepidation and anxiety.
Even if it's not to go ask them to bring it in, it's just check on it.
Right, because I would like to see Hashem's Yeshua. I'm going to see Hashem's Yeshua.
It's not saying, well, Hashem, did you come through on this? It's not coming from a bad place.
I doubt it. I think it could depend on the person also. I really think that, because it depends on where the person's holding. But I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that, because that's like a minimal amount of ishtadlus. So to give myself, I'm allowed to do ishtadlus to try to give myself yishuv das also. So I'm allowed to do that. That's part of ishtadlus for yishuv das. Does that make sense? I think it's okay to, that's what I would think. I think it depends on the case, and like depends what the item is also, probably, you know, that could be depend on that also. By the way, I just wanted, but one more note about what I said before. I just have one question. If Hashem said to Moshe, Mati Tzak Eli, now that seems very problematic. Because if you think about Shir Shirim, I want to go back, I just forgot this point. What does it say in Shir Shirim about our being cornered by the Yamsuf? You know the pasuk in Shir Shirim? What does it say there? Yo Nasi Bechag Ve'Yasel. Remember that pasuk? Hashem says about Bnei Israel. It's my dove in the clefts of the rock. Remember that? Seser Hamadrego. We were stuck. Remember, it's the dove who's chased by the bird of prey, goes into a cave, and there's a snake in there, and being chased behind. And then it says, what does Hashem say next? It's all about us by the Yamsuf. We had the Yamsuf in front of us, the Mitzrayim behind us. We had wild animals on both sides. And what does Hashem say? What does it say next to the Pasuk? Hashmi'ini eskolech. So Hashem says He wants us to daven. He puts us in these tough situations to daven. So I just want to ask you, I just want to make sure that all of Tanakh isn't contradicting each other. Here it says, Mati Tzak Eli. It's not time to daven at all. And in Shir Shirim, Hashem goes back and says, that's what I want to hear from you. I put you in a crisis so you'll daven. That's why we have a hard time. It's in order to daven. How is that not a contradiction? Mm-hmm.
Isn't Kolev could be different than Tzaka?
Very good. So in other words, here, Mati Tzak, why? Right, screaming is out of desperation and it's out of sorrow almost, and the Hashmienias Kolech is just a cold tefillah. Okay, that's perfect. So that
could be
the
as Yashir. Maybe knowing that they're gonna like singing that, like you were saying that Bitachon is part of singing is part of Bitachon.
Right. So in other words, it's almost singing the victory already. I was just singing this morning, every morning, right before Shemoneh Esrei, Shira Chadasha, Shibuch Gulam, we say, Micha Mocha Ba'elim Hashem, it's all about Az Yashir, and every single day before Shemoneh Esrei, we talk about Kriyas Yamsu. So it's the whole package is what you're saying, that the call that Hashem wants isn't the call of desperation and of doubting whether things are going to be okay. It's the call of triumph, of victory, that Hashem saves us. That's the kind of call. So maybe Mati Tzak is why you're doing Tzaka. Tzaka is desperation screaming. Maybe that's what it is. But Hashmini es Kolech, Ki Kolech or Rave, your voice is pleasant, so that there's different kinds of voices. That's the one that Hashem wants. Okay, it's not necessarily a contradiction. It could also be that initially it was okay, but no longer was it time to daven. They were already finished davening. That's another way to explain it. It's just we have to acknowledge that there are different places in Tanakh that refer to the same incident. And when Shlomo HaMelech looks back at it in Shir HaShirim and analyzes it in retrospect, so he's saying, okay, this was a beautiful thing. And then people go through hard times because Hashem wants us to daven. That's what Hashem wants from us a lot of times. People say, why am I suffering so much? He wants us to daven. He puts us in an impossible looking crisis. That's what He wants. Hashmini es kolech, ki kolech orev. So that's why that's not necessarily, it's a good answer why it's not a contradiction.
So what's the answer at the end? You started this year with the question of how do we know how much of each to give?
All right, so that I was saying was how Mordechai Schwab Zatzal told me, I asked him a similar question, and he said, we have to ask Hashem, the answer is we don't always know. In other words, we have to ask Hashem, now not often women don't daven Maariv, but in Kriyas Shema Alamita, we say in Hashkivenu, Rav Mordechai Schwab Zatzal told me that in Hashkivenu, he learned in Kamenitz by Rav Baruch Ber. I heard many things I heard from his mouth. He heard from Rav Baruch Ber in Kamenitz in Europe. That's the generation I'm talking about. He said that in Hashkivenu, Visaknenu Be'etza Tova Milfanecha. That's what he told me. He looked at me in the face and said, you don't know what you should do? Visaknenu Be'etza Tova Milfanecha. Ask Hashem. Please Hashem, fix me up, set me up with a good plan in front of you. And by the way, it's the same Lashon as we know that Rashi said here, is Hiskin Atmo. It's the same Lashon that Yaakov Avinu, he set himself. So Hashem should set us up. Hashem should establish us and direct us and give us the proper GPS that we should go to that right plan that we should do in whenever we have a crossroads like that. So how much davening? Sometimes the situation doesn't lend itself to davening. Like, I can't even talk right now, and now what am I supposed to do? I'm, like, stuck. So I will have 100% bitachon that this is going to come out perfect. And that's going to have to work right now. Other times I could say a silent tefillah, but that's not going to be as effective. Other times I can go in by myself in a room, and I could dive in also. That's how it's going to be. So we could do that.
Remember, you also started by saying the Chafetz Chaim said it's Mida Keneged Mida.
Oh, yeah. So the thing, the Mida Keneged Mida, thanks for keeping me here, is that we know that why is it? And this brings us back to the text. And this is going to be, as we're going to be concluding today, we're just getting ourselves back onto the main vehicle for our learning, which is the Sefer Machne Yisrael, which is what the Chofetz Chaim wrote for the soldiers. I wanted to explain, to justify this concept that the Chofetz Chaim is going to say. It's going to be about David HaMelech and his battles. Why is it that the more bitachon, then the Yeshua is greater? What's the reason for it? He's going to say, I'm going to say this line a few times probably, Ikur Hatzolas Nefesh Adam, the main rescuing and salvation, based on Melchama, which Rabbeinu Yonah already said is life in general, Visgabro Al Oyevav, and is overpowering his enemies, Taloi Begodel Hischaskus Koach Bitchon of Hashem. It depends on how great is his strengthening of the power of his B'tachon and Hashem. It is proportionate. Why? Because that fits into the framework of everything is Mida Kenegan Mida. So if we trust in Hashem, Hashem says you will get exactly what you did. You will be rewarded measure for measure. You trust in me, then I will be there for you. That's why it's fitting into the Mida Kenegan Mida. It's totally appropriate for all of Hashem's Midos in general. So it's not just a chiddush by bitachon. It's fitting into the whole concept, the global concept of Mida Kenegan Mida. Now Mida Kenegan Mida, we know, is found. It's Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Yom Alav. Call me Dosef Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Mida Kenegan Mida. It says call me Dosef, and it also says the Mishnah is in Sota Daf Chesam Abayz Ba Midash Adam Modeid Ba Modedin Lo. There's the Gemara and the Mishnah that it says is Beferish. If it's in many other places, but those are two main sources that in the same measure we measure out, Hashem is going to give it back to us. So that's the basis, the backbone for this very extensive and detailed study of the Chofetz Chaim about how the Bitachon is going to work. I do want to mention that it goes all the way back to the Rishonim who articulated the point. The Chofetz Chaim Baba says, in whomever we put our trust, Hashem will put us in the hands of that force. We know that already. Mm-hmm. So that's why if people will trust in money, Hashem says, okay, you're at the mercy of the stock market. You trust in the money, you're going to be at the mercy of money. You trust in your boss and people? Okay, so let's see how he'll do for you. Maybe it'll work out well, maybe it won't. You trust in whatever. What other things do people trust in? You trust in your power, your physical power, your health, your whatever else it is? I'll put you in the hands of that. So that's why it's good to trust in the Ribbono Shalom, because Hashem says, that's Mida Kenegi Mida. We're in the power. That's the Chofetz Chaim Vava said that. And the Aruch HaTzaddikim based his whole Sefer on that in his part of Apitachon. And come the Achronim, like the Chofetz Chaim, and is going to obviously speak along those lines. So we're just going to do a couple of lines in the Chofetz Chaim, and Mr. Shem, we're going to continue with that the next time. So the Chofetz Chaim says, what happens if the enemy who is against us, or whatever challenge it is, whatever we're facing, seems to be more powerful, but not just a little bit more powerful. Harbe ma'od ma'od. There are many, many forces. What if everything seems to be working against me? What if all odds are against me? What am I supposed to do in that case? Av apichein al yerach levavo ayideze. His heart shouldn't even be softened or weakened. No, we have to be mighty, powerful, strong, and steadfast. Don't fall apart. I always think, I'm not going to be jello. I'm going to be a rock. I'm going to be solid. That's what Hashem wants us to be. And we're going to see, and I'm going to end up with this beautiful concept that I saw. We know that it says, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. We know that seven times the tzadik is going to fall and he'll get up. I saw in the forest, it says, why seven? Why seven? By the way, remember when Yaakov bowed to Esav seven times, he was allowed to bow to Esav. Esav didn't deify himself, so he was allowed to bow out of respect. But why seven? He was hinting to Esau, even if I fall seven times, I'm going to get up again. But what's up at seven? So Asama Farsha says, even if all the astronomical forces are against us, everything in the cosmos, all odds are against us, the Shiva Koch Veleches. Now, how they're defined, those are planets, or they're whatever those spheres are. Even if everything is against us, we know there is mazel out there. We can transcend the mazel. There is faith. There is all kind of stuff. But as an ein mazel Yisrael, so sheva yipol tzadik, the seven, even if the seven main forces in the astronomical forces are against us, we can fall, meaning that the odds are against us, and we can rise up, and we can persevere and overpower all that. And that's what the Chofetz Chaim is going to say here, that it looks, everything looks like it's against us. It doesn't look likely at all. It looks pretty dismal right now. It says that doesn't matter. And if you read Rabbi David Ashir there, and others from, there are so many stories of just the extreme case of tumors that dissolved. I'm using exact Lushan. There was a tumor that people had. It dissolved at the last minute somehow. Doctors can attest to this. With the proper bitachon and tefillah, we can actually do that. That could actually happen, and we can heal with our own bitachon. Hashem can do it, and that's a chus. So Hashem, the next time we do this, we're going to continue with the Chafetz Chaim. So today we talked about many topics, talked about tefillah, hishtadlus, and tachan and davening. Mirtz Hashem, Hashem will help us to implement all that we learned today. Thank you so much for joining us.
I wanted a story, and I just
yes, please.
Have to point out, I don't have yes. all the details exact, but one of my granddaughters through marriage had a grandfather who was in Auschwitz. His line the entire time was, Hashem is by my side, he will save me. They are now walking to the gas chambers, and the person standing next to him says, is Hashem still by you? Absolutely. They are in the gas chambers, and the door is locked. And he says, Hashem is still here. And then the door opened. And I thought it was because they needed people. He said, there was a malfunction. And so all the people that were in there were beautiful. Not in there anymore.
All these stories are welcome, and that's absolutely remarkable. Okay, until the last second. Until the last second. Everything was pointing against it happening.
And he was known for that. He was known that this beautiful. Was his thing, that he had total...
He saved everybody. He just saved everybody, not just himself. He saved everybody. But this B'tachon. His B'tachon just shattered the whole gezeira right there. Hopefully you have a story like this or two every time, but these stories are always welcome. Please, they're a big chizuk for everybody. Thank you so much. That's really fantastic. Wow. Love it.
Thank you
so much for joining. Wow.